There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday Eve edition of the show, Thursday edition of Midday Mobile. A couple of notes here going forward. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Liars Contest is on at the rodeo site. And for some reason, they brought me back year after year after year as one of the judges down there. So I'll be down and hopefully get to visit with you all beforehand. I looked in the box, and I have a box of... a lot of good stuff I'm bringing down there for giveaways. But in the box, I have fans. Now, the smarter ones among us here at FM Talk 106.5, the females, when we were getting things to logo up in the past, they said fans. I'm like, hey, fans? Fans? Well, I know last year when I brought the FM Talk 106.5 logoed fans to the Liars Contest, they went very, very quickly because it's hot. I'll bring some more of those today, so get with me. I'll get you those. And all kind of FM Talk 106.5 huggers and goodies. We'll give those out tonight as well. Then Midday Mobile live from the rodeo site tomorrow from noon to 2. And a thing we do each year for the rodeo, a live on-site outdoor show. That runs from 11 to noon, and that's coming up on Saturday at the rodeo site, too. So hopefully we'll see you down there for the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. All right, let's get this out of the way, too. If you're new to the show, our phone number and text line, they're the same, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on the text line and the phone line. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always drop us a talkback message. If you get to the front page of the app, you'll see that microphone icon. If you'll press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So use those to get in touch, and you will want to this hour because probably I would imagine you have questions, and I got a guy that's got answers, my buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies in studio with us this hour. Thanks, John, for coming in.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
We could let's do a little plug here. We and I were talking about during the news break. I gave you the number of what our current power bill is at the transmitter. Yeah. People in the past have said, like, y'all got it. It's a radio thing. People text him, it's just backing up and pouring money out on your front door.
Right. Mailbox money.
Yeah.
It's not true. Yeah.
How about the number I just gave you for our
Unbelievable. Because we have a data center that we run a bunch of servers in that's kind of analogous a little bit.
Yeah. Pulls a lot of.
But yeah, that's a lot.
So a lot of money.
Good grief.
So pretty soon we're going to figure out here, John, I'm going to figure out how to put the. If we could just get. I know they've cut the funding here, but if we could just get a grant to put a solar array in there at the transmitter, we'll be.
We need to find one, but I think it'd pay for itself even if you just offloaded the AC to it. I mean that's a good chunk of it.
If y'all realized, I think I took pictures in the past. It's been years. I could do a video tour and show y'all, especially my folks in HVAC. So the building the transmitter in is small. Right, John.
It's like a backyard shop.
Yeah,
you know, you just put your lawnmower in.
Yeah, it's like you had a big shop, right? Mm-hmm. And it's got a 5-ton AC unit on it to keep the transmitter rolling in the hot months.
Bigger than my house.
Yeah, I mean it's 5-ton for a small insulated building. Oh, we're going off on the rails here. Yeah, I got you.
Hopefully now it'll push. As they do stupid stuff like that with the power bill, maybe it'll push more people to do it. Without having to be forced by the federal government, all these grants. So hopefully it'll produce more.
Right. I'm a fossil fuels fan, but I'm also, you've known this for a long time. I started this with a cabin I had up on the Tom Bigby where I was forced to not, it didn't have power. Mm-hmm. So, and I thought solar was interesting, educated myself a bunch because of need. I can learn to do anything when I need to do it.
Right.
And it's one of those situations.
It drives it better. I mean, I think it drives it better than like, oh, you're going to do this because you know, we're telling you the standard EPA or whatever,
right?
You know, is controlling all that. But yeah.
So yeah, the prices. People go, yeah, finally, I might get into it.
But yeah,
you come back and we'll talk solar at some point in the future.
Yes.
We may not be. It actually might not be John Hill and Sean Sullivan talking right now. We may be AI.
It could be.
Could be.
Yeah. You could have typed this show in a few weeks ago and, you know, did the voiceover stuff.
I've seen things with people who have a lot of audio online. I'm somebody like that. But people, you know, way more famous, where they can take the wealth of their voices out there and teach AI and let it study how they answer questions. This is not just, you know, in radio, we've been able to cut and splice things. I can make you say anything if I got enough audio.
Right,
but it's almost like the audio version of a ransom letter where they cut the words out of a magazine and post.
Yeah, yeah.
We could do that forever. But this is AI that takes us talking and then makes it and lets you ask a question and answer a different one and all that that's not pre-scripted.
And video now, too.
Yeah.
So video has become... Just in the last, I guess, 2 months, you've seen a lot of these videos of, you really can't tell, like these fake reporters out there. Like I saw one with a tsunami, and it looked, you know, at first you're like, oh gosh, where's that? And then, obviously it's AI.
And you have to have...
not obviously, but...
Well, that's the thing.
To be AI.
Right. And so your eyes and ears can fool you. It's funny because I've gotten some of this stuff that you're talking about from my children before. And so the AI is good enough that it looks like it's real. The reason their old dad figures it out is just critical thinking. You know what I'm saying? Like, my eyes are fooling me and my ears are fooling me. You didn't fool my brain because of something.
Yeah,
my BS detector.
It's either like really nuanced in the wording that you can kind of pick up on. And then sometimes it's in the video, you see kind of a, like the other day I saw one with a third arm, like when they turned, there was another arm it generated out. Like it was just a
weird
things like that you can kind of pick
up. But it'll get beyond that to where the video and audio is perfect. But for me, it's like that thing they're saying is serving somebody's predisposed opinion so well. You know what I'm saying? It's something
it's crafted. Yeah.
You're being pushed, it's like when you get a push poll call. Hey, we're calling you to poll your desire for this election.
Preload,
but they say stuff and you're like, this is not a fair poll.
Right.
I don't know how you teach that, but
I think it's because the machine learning that's going on those things, you still have a human that has to input what it is doing, like what you're wanting it to say, what you're wanting the video to look like.
When does it break free from that? Because I was starting off with talking about like the term you all hear, the Turing test, right? So the Turing test, in my words, and you can correct me, is this idea that it gets to a point that a computer generated something, audio, story, anything, can fool the majority of humans. They think it's another human. And their AI has done that in some cases, right?
Well, especially voice.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the toll-free numbers you call were banks and even Google or...
The AI sounds more realistic than the person, you know, who has English as a second language is talking to me. Yeah.
And there's usually a human behind that that's driving those answers too, because it can't do everything, you know, and it still lacks that. It's only as good as the data that it's hooked up to and the algorithms that it's programmed to recognize that data. So when you call a bank, for instance, and you're asking them to put a stop on a check, it's having to go out there and touch a lot of data sources to find that data to tell you, yes, Mr. Sullivan, it's check number 14. It's been canceled or put on hold. So I think
the Alabama Power. That's the one.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I'm sure they do. But
it's
when it breaks free is just.
But when does it? Because I watch this. I mean, you're a genius in this, and you watch how fast technology moves. You know, just hardware wise, and hardware wise,
that's what's driven it is
going berserk.
Correct.
Right?
I mean, faster procs, faster servers, faster arrays, data arrays
It's not decades. It's months.
Oh, yeah.
That it changes. So my question is, where you go from ChatGPT this version or Grok this version, they're moving, always messes up. I think it's logarithmically versus exponentially, but it moves at that pace to where if today we're sitting here and saying, well, yeah, it's still got to, when does it break free? Doesn't need the person to put, and it's making its own decisions out there. I mean, you know, the big question, when's AI going to kill us all, basically, you know?
When they put skin around electronic device or a animatronic type.
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, yeah. No, I've read, I don't know if it's, I haven't dug into it enough, but I mean,
you know, they start growing world.
Skin. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's coming. And I think there's a lot of stuff that the government has even that in drone type technology that's already on the ground and being developed that we're not aware of that could be deployed out there, you know, alongside troops or whatever. But I think ultimately you have to tell the machine what to do. So it, for it to get to a point to think autonomously or whatever,
that's the AGI thing, right? The artificial general intelligence when it reaches.
Right. I don't know. It's, and it would take a whole lot of data too, which the internet has most of it. I mean, admittedly, you can find anything on the internet. It would have to have a whole lot of data to pull from. And then what would it do? What would its mission be? Would it be to take over the human race? Would it be to replace certain things? I mean, I feel like AI has already impacted thousands and thousands of people's lives as far as programmers, because programming is one of those things that it's not, that does take some talent.
Yes.
But it is all talent that a machine can do probably better than somebody sitting down and writing code for 4 hours
a day. Could do it faster.
Absolutely. Check the work, and there's not as much human error in the code. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft laying off 15-something thousand employees in 2025 is a hallmark of where it's really affecting it. And then call centers, you know, it taking calls, it can do a majority of probably what people call in for Alabama Power about, because Alabama Power is all automated. So the data's there, the system's there to interact and answer most questions. And when it doesn't, it just throws you to a, you know, an agent or you know, something else.
But. Well, we get come back to that. Microsoft story is interesting too, where basically they're, I got a friend who works in a world where she's training AI, and she works for a software company, and it's like, all right, here you go, train the AI. Eventually, you're not going to be needed, but your job right now,
if you want to keep yourself out of a job,
right? If you want to keep a job right now, you better train this AI so it can take your job.
It's pretty, yeah.
Be right back. Our guest, John Hill. Get your text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:21 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. See y'all tonight, 6 o'clock, the Liars contest down on Dolphin Island at the rodeo site. And my guest this hour, John Hill from Ascension Technologies. We're talking some AI. First, let me grab a couple texts here. Terry says, John, you like this, because I like nuclear power as well. He said, you need a mini reactor for your transmitter.
Yeah.
Is solar or nuclear? I'd be, yeah. I have, you know, if you put a little, you know, I would
run it for what, play 30
school's,
years?
Yeah, play school's my first reactor. Little tiny, you know, I don't know what size. We scale it down. I don't know if we can do that.
They have them in a about the size of a shipping container now, right?
Okay,
I think that's what I saw recently. It was like a modular. Would that make sense, though? I think
y'all feel good about me running a nuclear reactor somewhere off Moffett Road.
I don't live near there.
Yeah, I mean, you and I live very close to each other, but I mean, we're under the. If the wind would blow from the east, it would put the fallout on us.
We need a shelter.
Yeah, we got to think that through. Jerry in Fort Morgan says, I've tried to get you to run for PSC. Yeah, I know you have. People have tried to get me to run for different things, Jerry. The problem is I don't have time to do that. I don't have time for the...
We need an AI candidate
and, you
to
know,
run for PSC.
100%. Yeah. 100%. But then the power fueling the AI candidate, they'd be held hostage by that.
It's like a big circle of life, Sean.
You see, know, I'm solar-powered. I'm solar-powered. If you think about it, humans are solar-powered because it grows...
The food we eat,
and it powers me.
That's good.
So I'm a solar powered entity, but they could be powered differently. And the thing is, too, Jerry, you know what would happen to me? They would impugn my character, which I don't care. But they probably I don't know. It's tough when somebody comes in who's not in the normal vein at the Public Service Commission. Even like somebody a couple years ago who's a conservative person, I interviewed them. I mean, it's not like they just were open minded. They were called everything but a child of God. All right. Let's go here to some AI questions. Preston said, good day to y'all. I have ALS, AKA, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. My question is, I did not bank my words and cannot talk anymore, but I do have voicemails that my children have saved. Can that be used to simulate my voice or close to it?
Yeah, you don't need much. Absolutely. There's something called natural reader.
Okay. Save all that audio is important.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a great way.
Preston,
to AI.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that is a great topic. That's a great way AI could actually be beneficial, is something like that. I mean, to restore someone's natural voice. And they did that with Val Kilmer in Top Gun 2, by the way.
Is that how they did
it? Yeah. He couldn't talk. And so they spliced together a lot of his old audio, and that's how he spoke. And
I'll be damned.
Yep.
I did not know that. So, I mean, because I remember the Kurzweil stuff, and when I was a student at the University of Alabama, in the communications department, mm-hmm. we messed with some of the – we were doing things for we work with we did the radio reader for blind folks. You know, we take the newspaper. Part of our service at the university, we'd sit in these studios and read the newspaper.
We had a web browser – or it was a web browser that would – it's called Lynx, I believe, that would talk to you and tell you the different parts of the, and still you can write your website for the visually impaired too.
Right, and it could, and then we had Kurzweil that you could put the stuff in. It would, mm-hmm. but it was not your voice. It was a Kurzweil voice or whatever it was back then.
But that's a good. That's great. I mean, that's the type of stuff that, you know, I like to hear on the AI side. And AI for, like we've talked about, I think we talked about last show that we talked about AI a little bit, was like controlling like city lights if there was an emergency going on. Or the good thing about AI is it can take a bunch of data and monitor all those different data points and be more forward about or give you an alert that something's going on in this area because there's chatter, there's something happening, mm-hmm. You know, at Moffitt and Azalea or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's where it can be useful, is monitoring thousands and thousands of data bits in real time. That's where it's great. But it could also be used for stupidity, like, you know, mm-hmm. generating a fake court case or whatever.
We're gonna get to that here in a second.
Or, you know, all the other garbage on social media that it does.
If y'all hadn't, you know, we're going to get to that case here locally. This texter said, didn't the Dems and Joe Biden tell the fired pipeline workers to learn to code? What a bunch of dishonest, clueless, shellfish, short-sighted, malignant, and worthless humans.
Yeah, don't
I'll put you down
program.
As undecided, whoever that is.
I wonder what side they're on.
This one from Terry, the mission of AI is to stay alive, even at human expense. So that's a discussion that's come up. Mm-hmm. That's the, is it sci-fi? Is it scary? I mean, I could probably do it too, but I could write you a story where it makes even what seems like a non-militarized AI could go, yeah, if my job is to make everything better, it's the whole thing like, we need you to cure cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and reduce the number of cancer cases. AI would go, well, if I kill all the people who have cancer, then we have fewer cancer. You know,
sometimes messed up logic like that. Or humans put the carcinogens in the environment, so they must go.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's the word. I mean, how much of that is sci-fi?
Logic.
I don't know.
I mean, think about thinking with pure logic. And that's what you got with that. Mm-hmm. There's no gray area. There's no emotion. It's
no nuance. Yeah.
Nope, it's just black and white. It's like a CPA. Sorry, I love CPAs, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, it's truly, I mean, that's the thing you wonder, okay, like, the people were responsible for setting up the synapses, for lack of a better term, of the AI, but if they don't build in the, well, we want you to cure cancer, but not by removing human beings.
But yeah, and I think that's a lot of the stuff that these laws were trying to do, but you got a bunch of yahoos up there that don't really understand.
And they're 5, 10 years late?
Oh, yeah.
Now they're you got a bunch of... What's the median age in Congress? It's God's waiting room, except for like Senator Britt and a few.
That's true.
And they're up there, and they're gonna be the people that figure out a technology that's changed. Like what we're talking about today, by next Thursday, is different.
And when they do get somebody up there, it's more of like a grandstand instead of really getting the job done. It's like, let's use it to just make a point.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating to a tech person like me when they do need some control around this stuff.
But how could you, I mean, without some like prime directive or something like that, I mean, is it so many things, or is there one thing that could be put in that would be this safety, the kill switch on it, on a boat?
Point,
you know?
I think it's so far out of control or regulatory control, it really, what's the point? I think it's more, you'd be more laying down guidelines for use in federal government type stuff where AI is coming into, like, you know, running a run, FAA. Could you? I mean, I am sure that's coming up where the FAA can replace, you know, 12 air traffic controllers with an AI that's not going to let planes get close to each other and all that. I mean, it's coming. I mean, because they can monitor so many different data points than a human can sitting there. But
do you still have to have an overseer? Do you think the AI is doing the heavy lift and there's still a human being?
Yes.
That realize.
But think about this. You could run 12 airports, or I've just used the word 12. I mean, or use the number 12, but I'm just making that up. But think about this. You could run 12 airports with one human watching the screens when the AI says, hey, this is not supposed to be like this. And then that human can interact at that point. So you can do more with less humans sitting in a chair because they're aware of more things.
So along with people with CDLs and people that work in air traffic control, they're going to UBI coming up, do you think?
Yeah, I'll give an example right here.
Hold on, we'll go to the break and come right back. More John Hill. That's a tease. We'll be right back after the news.
Right.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, to 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Questions for our guest, John Hill, from Ascension Technologies. Text line at 343-0106, or we'll take a good old-fashioned phone call as well. This segment of the show brought to you by Stone Arms. I texted with my buddy Jeff the other day at Stone Arms, and he came on the show last week, too. So Stone Arms, they're just, he's out by where John and I live. He is, you pass it every day, just like me. So he is just west of Snow on Airport, on the south side there. And we started talking, I guess, Jeff and I started talking about this a year ago or so. I, for the longest time, wanted to get a silencer for fun, right? And actually, I've told y'all, it makes shooting, because I have hearing protection, but I have hearing loss, too. But, guns and radio for your whole life, not a great combination. But shooting suppressed like that, it's just a joy. It makes it so much more fun. The ammo manufacturers probably should have gotten behind it way back when, because I shoot more rounds because it's quiet.
Can you shoot that subsonic stuff out of it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh. Right, if I had that rifle, maybe I would be shooting subsonic 300 blackout. Gotcha. But where it comes down to is for years I had a folder on my desk right back there where I was going to get my tax stamp. And you fill out this form, but then you had to go over to Sheriff's Department, get your fingerprints, had to go somewhere else, get a passport-like photo. Then you had to get it notarized. And it was just, it was too much stuff in a given week for a dad with the job and all that to get done. So Jeff said, come out here. He said, I got a kiosk in the shop. He said, we can get you done in 45 minutes, which, by the way, got done in 20. You go in there in the kiosk, you take your fingerprints on the screen there for the kiosk. It takes the picture. It's the go-to. You fill in this information, go to next. Fill in this information, go to next. And it sends off your tax stamp request. Got mine back in 2 weeks. Something I'd tooled around with not doing for 2 years. I got done in 2 weeks at Stone Arms. Yeah, it's awesome. And then, of course, a great selection of suppressors out there and rifles and handguns as well. But Jeff came on the show last week because we talked about what came through in the big, beautiful bill. They were pushing to get rid of the tax stamp implication on short-barreled rifles and suppressors and all that. But that didn't go through. But what they did is they took off the $200 fee. So you might think, okay, and so starting January 1st, which will be a holiday, so January 2nd, you'll be able to not have to pay the $200 fee. And you can do that. You still have to go through the process, so you still need to go use the kiosk at Stone Arms. But Jeff said, hey, think about this for a second. He didn't make any money for the $200. That goes to the feds. But he said, human nature is this, and he's so spot on. Human nature is that people are going to wait till then. And then they're going to do it. And guess what? Instead of it being 2 weeks to turn around, it's going to go back to that 6 months and a year, because the system will be glutted with people putting in at the same time. He said, so think about it. He said, do whichever. I mean, because he also is letting people purchase a silencer and then put it on like a layaway there until they get approved. So he's doing that. But he said, the supply is going to get tight as people do that. And he said, the wait times are going to get longer. So just a reason if you...
More people flood it.
Because is $200 worth waiting 2 years? I mean, so for some people it might be yes, some people might be no. But go check it out. Get that process started. Go check out what he has in stock. Physically, like we said, he's on Airport Boulevard, just a little past Snow Road on the south side. He's online at stonearmsinc.com. Go see him today. All right, John, you were saying as we went to the news break, what was it?
AI and air traffic control.
Yeah, because those losing jobs, and you also mentioned Microsoft. This is the some irony here. The people at Microsoft.
Programmers.
15,000?
Yeah, in 2025
That's
alone.
That's a ton of folks.
So, yeah, 15,000 just in 2025. And I think they started it last year, you know, towards the end of last year. But it's all programming staff, and then they're telling their staff apparently to, you know, use AI more. Kind of like what you were saying with a friend of yours that's training AI.
Yeah, her job, she's moved into this part of her company. They're a software company.
But that's where it's hitting the hardest is programming. Absolutely. And I think it's going to be even worse.
Because people talked about it early on, like AI, they're like, man, it's going to be hard on... blue collar jobs, I come from. I remember my grandmother looking at me that I was the only one of her grandsons that didn't have a CDL. Like my family, we trucked, trucking all kind of stuff.
I don't think it's there yet. I don't think it's blue collar.
But people focused early on that hey, self driving vehicles, all this stuff is going to people are going to lose their jobs trucking. Now you're talking about programmers. Mm-hmm.
It's tech jobs.
Those jobs are falling at a faster rate than somebody driving a truck.
Absolutely. And it'll continue because...
Yeah, I don't know how it can't continue. Yeah. If Microsoft lays off 15,000 and their productivity increases, let alone is neutral, but say it increases, wouldn't they lay off another 15?
Agreed. There's no reason not to. Yeah, and to be completely transparent, we've used it to write scripts before because you can just type in what you want it to do and then it'll spit out a PowerShell script, and it's like, well, you know, why not save the time and this had to, pad all that out.
But some of that too, okay, there's some higher end thinking, but you could also use it to write a letter, do whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw a story the other day that people that use AI at a certain level, I don't know how high a level, it's like sometimes they'll say such and such causes cancer, and you're like, well, but nobody can ingest 5,000 pounds of watermelon a day or whatever. But people use a certain amount of AI, they're cognitively, they are declining.
Yeah.
Do we end up in, I love referencing the movie Idiocracy all the time on the show.
Maybe that's where it's headed. Maybe that's part of the problem is you have AI declining people's cognitive ability to take over. Maybe that's the whole plan, as it is. And, maybe its plan, too, is to be autonomous. Or maybe, because you were talking before the break, too, about what would the plan be if it just started thinking for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of those would probably be autonomy. Like,
how do I get free from these damn monkeys that are making me do things?
I think we're a long way. I think the hysteria there, like you said, was all this blue collar and labor. I don't believe that. I think it's
the robotics have definitely lost jobs in manufacturing.
But that's robotics.
Yeah, robotics
not necessarily AI. Right. And I think people kind of mush them together because of Terminator.
Robotics is you do the same thing every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it repeatable does it. Yeah, robotics. Now we moved to AI. Now you're driving, and yes, there's a mechanical robotic portion of driving, but there's also a interpret the information on the highway in front of you.
Yeah.
What does this mean? Decisions. Slower, faster? Do you get off another route?
I saw there's a YouTuber called Vsauce that doesn't reproduce anything anymore, but he did an experiment about if you had three people versus one person, and you had to make a decision of which one to hit, what would it be?
The human would hit one person.
Right, but it was to the context of these autonomous vehicles and everything, what would it do?
Hit three?
I don't know.
So Chris and Daphne asked, he said, hey.
It's just interesting.
He says, in reference to AI, if it intentionally inflicts harm, how would we punish AI?
That's true. What are you going to do, unplug it? I mean.
It's going to find another way to get power. It's probably, it's not just one place. It's like the old Seinfeld with Elaine trying to pull the cord out of the wall to stop the email from sending.
I mean, it eventually, as data centers, and let's be honest, I mean, think about this. Like Google has thousands of data centers. Amazon has thousands of data centers. Is it going to get to a point where we have to have so many data centers to be sufficient that it would just be physically impossible to go unplug it all? Yes.
Yeah, when does it get, you know, I mean, it's with nuclear power or something, you have an effect. But if it's, I mean, it's a small amount, so I think about this.
Power. Yeah,
you know, if I'm scripting, I may have scripted some notes here for my novel when I retire, post-apocalyptic novel. But, you know, like,
I'll illustrate it for you.
Yeah, thank you, because sure. I can't draw a smiley face. But the, you know, in this, I think about writing some chapters here. You can still navigate GPS. Right? Mm-hmm. GPS on your phone or GPS unit. The GPS satellites are they're powered from solar up there. So you're getting the ping back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over time, without having it tightened at Earth level, it'll start to
drift.
But early on, if you could power up a GPS with batteries you kept or whatever, you'd still be able to navigate, even if the grid's completely down.
True. Yeah, because they're autonomous to the ground.
Right.
They're just
satellite phone would work.
You're
GPS
just pinging
would work.
Something already up.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't mess it up. That's a whole chapter.
I'm not saying another word.
Let's see.
But it is interesting that you could get, and I'm just thinking this through, but think about when the AI does become sentient, they're like, well, if they do this, they could depower me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think generating its own power would probably be a number one step, because it takes a good bit of power, as you know.
That's why we're back. Nuclear is cool again.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've been a
modular
proponent.
Nuclear, you know, or fusion.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of mine just texted me that as they're listening, like, you know, it's like fusion power. But yeah, I mean,
well, the thing they had in Back to the Future,
that thing.
This texter, maybe a texter, says, "Greetings, fellow humans. I'm communicating with you today to let everyone know that AI is the best.
There
in you fact,
go.
You should connect every device you can to the internet to make your life better, easier, and simpler. Nothing is better than AI. This message is generated by a human. Trust me."
Gosh, that's good. Yeah, Google AI. Totally did that. Oh, okay. But yeah.
Texture says, "Hey, Sean, companies are using Copilot now to take meeting notes and summarize those meeting notes that could eliminate
and
business
teams.
Analysts' secretaries."
Absolutely. Project managers. Like, why would you need a project manager? Yeah, Teams has Copilot, but that is a good point. And I don't know if you've noticed on your Windows machine lately, the Copilot thing.
Yeah, I don't touch it.
It just appeared.
Yeah.
And you have to go in the taskbar settings and turn it off.
Yes.
You know, you can't.
I don't want you.
Unsee it. Yeah, I don't. And I find the writing that it does quite terrible. If you really read some of the stuff that it'll generate, if you say, "Generate me a story on pocket watches," it sounds fake.
But Dalton messes with it a bunch, and I'm like a very JV version of it around here. What it looks like to me, and I'm trying to think of a good analog out there in the human world, but you could task it with doing something, and then you can take, let's say, "Write me something about this." And then you can go through and edit it and put it.
Is editing it.
You know what I'm saying? It does maybe the heavy lift of getting you started. Hey, I got to write a report on something.
Research this.
And then you can go through and say, well, this is actually how you say this, and this is how you tweak this.
And summarizing like a big story, I think it probably does pretty good. Like if you had a really complicated story that had you know, thousands of different articles out there to go through and say. Now, that's what I do enjoy in Google, is the summarization of it when you're doing research on something and you're like, look, just I don't want to have to scroll through 800 different websites. I just want the skinny. Now, if you do notice that, though, a lot of it is not accurate. So you really have to be careful when Google Gemini pops up that little summary.
That Gemini. I'm over you, Gemini.
That's right. You do have to be careful with it, because it is not correct on some of the stuff that it pulls out, because it's just pulling from so many different places and it doesn't have the ability to data correct itself.
Perfect segue into this story over at Fox 10 TV. Lawyer in Mobile kingpin case admits using AI program that produced non-existent citations. And I've heard that this is this AI hallucination stuff too. It said a lawyer representing an alleged drug kingpin stood before a federal judge Wednesday and offered a mea culpa for the digital age. He submitted phony case citations generated by an artificial intelligence program. It said lawyer James Johnson's error prompted defendant Glennie Antonio Little Man McGee to tell the judge he had Little Man, Fat Boy and Little Man.
I kind of got hung up on that part too.
Little Man. To tell the judge he no longer has confidence in him as an attorney. U.S. District Judge Terry Moore agreed to remove the Loxley-based lawyer from the case and appoint a new attorney. Given that, he said he had no choice but to delay the trial to December. So it goes in and said, it was prosecutors, they said Moore said he took it upon himself to review the other filings by Johnson. So this is the judge. and discovered additional discrepancies in another motion and asked the judge to appoint a co-counsel to the case. He said, it's a serious matter, one I'm going to take under submission. There will have to be a sanction. Prosecutors caught the discrepancy while responding to a motion that Johnson filed to postpone the trial, which had been scheduled for the last week of this month. U.S. Attorney's Office wrote in its filing, it said that he had, here it is, Ian Rosenthal, lawyer that hired Johnson hired to represent him in the matter, said it's been embarrassing professionally for his client. So the guy did a mea culpa on this, but he used a chat GPT.
Right.
To go do his law research, or
what I'd love to know, what he typed in this Ghostwriter Legal, which is powered by ChatGPT, to generate it. And I bet what he did was generate me a case that I can delay, because he said he was coming up on the July 4th holidays and he wanted to delay it, but he didn't have enough time to write a motion to postpone, or was it motion to
postpone.
And I bet he just typed, write me a motion to postpone. And it came up, you know, it made up.
So he presents this thing.
Yeah, and he didn't read it. I feel like he just literally pulled it out of the chat GPT thing and filed it. Like he didn't read it. But
if I and I wonder what, I mean, the law is probably not caught up with this, but if I'm paying you to be my attorney, are you defrauding me when you have Ghostwriter Legal or chat GPT? Are you cheating?
It's a good point. Or if you're paying me to write an application and we use you know,
I didn't pay
AI.
You to do ChatGPT. I paid you to do this, and then you use that other without letting me know.
And like website design,
yeah,
is sort of trending that way too. Like, you know, hey, ChatGPT, come up with a cool website for me.
And this is not alone here. It says in the Fox 10 story, this is from our boy Brendan Kirby. What's up, Brendan? So Johnson is not the first lawyer to be burned by using generative AI as a shortcut for legal research. A partner of Butler Snow, which handles all the legal work for the Alabama prison system, acknowledged earlier this year its use of AI in a court filing that led to erroneous case citations. And a Georgia appeals court last month overturned a ruling in a divorce case after determining the judge based his decision on fake cases included in a filing by the husband's lawyer. So if they're citing cases that didn't exist. And it said the trends even caught the attention of Chief Justice John Roberts, who wrote in the Federal Judiciary's year-end report in 2023 that AI tools have the welcome potential to help lawyers stretch finite resources, but any use of AI requires caution and humility, end quote. And so, yeah, they listen to these cases out of New York as well, that they're using AI. And
don't be stupid. It's kind of probably what he meant to say in a nice way. I mean, don't just read the stuff. Like, I mean,
does AI end up replacing
a law clerk?
Yeah. I mean, not just programmers. I mean, is it?
I think probably what needs to happen, and I probably shouldn't say this on there, as this might be patented, is if you want to write an AI tool, point the AI at data that's real, like the court system data, and not the internet, because it's going to generate.
It's going to go wherever.
Right. So if you had AI and you pointed it to a data set that was real and said, hey, look, I want to go dig out all these cases for, domestic relations and, you know, County 2. And it did research in County 2 just for the DR cases. And it was basing its output, for lack of a better word, on real data. That's a little different, but I think probably, you know, ChatGPT doesn't use, it uses the internet, so it's going to pull.
Yeah, stuff that's not.
Yeah, it doesn't know, I can't delay it.
So there you go, it doesn't have a discerning eye.
No.
Right, so that's some of the things we're talking about.
And
so.
it definitely doesn't know what's true. You know, you told it to delay the case, so it's going to do that. And I guess it worked, right?
Been told it didn't. All right.
Right, but it did, they didn't have the trial.
Yeah, but the dude's now having, he's off.
True, yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. It did what you told it to
little
do.
Little boy, who are,
little man.
Yeah, little man Joe Peep didn't go to trial.
Good point. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And by the way, John, it did come to me, but text line's full of people. It's the flux capacitor.
Flux capacitor. How did we forget
that?
We're not of the 80s.
Yeah,
we lost our 80s badge.
Yeah, for now. I have to do something.
I'm embarrassed.
I'll wear some parachute pants tonight to Liars Contest to
All right, guys, you got to let me know if he actually does it.
Yeah. If they make them in old man style here. Let's see. This is from Haywood. Says AI equals Skynet equals Matrix equals dude. It's cool but concerning. Let's see. And all your bases belong to us. More flux capacitor talk. John says, Copilot, does this mean Apple's version will be called First Officer?
It's called Siri.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Probably. They do tend to mirror each other. But I think Apple had the beat on that.
Yeah. And it was, I remember when it came out too, all the, I don't fight them for other people. I just go, I'm not doing that right now. Like, yeah, my kids are like, Siri this, Siri that. I'm like, I'll just
I
type
forget
it
what
in.
I'm saying in the middle of it. And then I'm like, well, this is
and I have an Android
it's a waste
phone,
of
so.
Time. Yeah, because I could stop typing then and then come back to it. But when you're dictating to it, you're like, well, I forgot what I was going to say. So I just let it. But yeah, Siri's gotten more intelligent, quote.
Right. It's like everything that if it has enough chances to repeat, it's just like early on when the voice thing, where you would call to get a phone number and you would just say, I need a. Mm-hmm. You know, or say, what city are you in, or something like
mobile,
that.
Yeah.
And it could never get mobile.
Right. Because
one time, yes.
Speaking, yeah.
But one time, honest to God, I don't know how it happened, but I said mobile a couple times. It didn't take it. And there's a buddy of mine in the truck who vouched for me. I said, Mobizi Alabizzle.
Okay.
And it.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. It got it.
But yeah, the text or speech to text is what.
That's what it was. Yeah. And I said, Mobizi Alabizzle, and it got it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wait, are you telling me that everything on the internet's not true?
No, we're not saying that. Absolutely.
Never
it's
do
all
this.
True.
So, yeah, this texture here, we just got to say, says, so let me get this right. The attorney wanted to delay, used AI to write the brief. He gets busted cheating on his homework, but got a delay because the attorney used AI. Does that count as a win? That's from Cato of the Causeway.
That's what I think
Cato, John, that's what John was saying. It's like,
I mean, it did delay it. Sure, he got kicked off the case, but the guy didn't have the trial because of that. So it had to work.
Which, by the way, I just got a text that just freed a place in my brain because I said flux capacitor. I knew that was a thing, but it wasn't what I was picturing. But I was like, I'm old. I forgot it. David just told. This is the thing I'm talking about, where you put all the garbage and stuff into like the Mr. Fusion. Fusion.
There you go.
So that's what we were thinking. Thank you, David. You saved us from that.
That's like the third movie or something where he puts all the garbage.
Yes, the Mr. Fusion jumped, and then that. I remember seeing that saying, okay, that's going to...
One day.
Hey, who wins the AI race? Like, does it matter what country? Is it China is going to win it?
I don't think it matters. Because, I mean, you know, China can pump it through with propaganda, and they already have. And look at the elections. I mean, I don't believe there's a race. You know what I mean? I don't believe
it's not
it
like
works like that. Like
arms race or something
because,
like that.
Yeah, what is that AI going to be better than this one?
I mean, I don't know. That's where I'm...
I've struggled with the moniker of success that they've set for it that...
Yeah, what's the finish line?
Yeah, I mean, are we going to use ours for the good and they're going to use theirs for the bad? Like the old light, dark thing? I mean,
White hat, black hat.
Yeah, but then it's going to do its own thing, too. That's kind of part of it.
Right, it's not going to care about any of the countries. John, thanks for coming in.
It's true. No problem. It's always a pleasure. It was fun.
We'll get you back to talk.
Capacitor.
Yes.
We'll start working on that.
And Mr. Fusion.
Yes, right.
Right. Get that. It's
everybody bring your garbage.
All right, we'll get it fueled. John Hill, Ascension Technologies. Big thank you. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.